Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's been a few weeks now since I started here at Trinity, and we're getting to know each other a little bit every week. Each week I learn a little bit more about you, and hopefully you learn a bit more about me. One thing you will eventually find out about me is that I enjoy movies. Movies of all kinds. From comedies and adventure movies to historical dramas and, yes, even a monster movie or two. Old movies, new movies, good movies or bad movies. I, like many of you, enjoy being transported to different worlds, different times, and different places through the power of movies. If I had to pick a favorite type of movie, though, it would be a good old-fashioned monster movie. In a monster movie, you find heroes placed in a series of seemingly hopeless situations. There's chases, there's stunts, special effects. Those tend to be my favorite. I also enjoy good old-fashioned adventure movies. There's always a lot going on. And one of the most interesting things is we tend to put ourselves in place of our heroes. We suffer with him. We rejoice with them. We feel their excitement. We fear for their safety. Yet through it all, if it's the type of movie I like, we are confident in our hero's ability to survive. Let's face it, we would not enjoy an Indiana Jones movie nearly as much if we actually thought that somehow he would not survive. James Bond or Jason Bourne wouldn't be nearly as popular if we thought they might actually get killed in the end. Half the fun of watching these types of movies is being surprised by the methods in which our heroes get out of a dangerous situation. We want to see what surprise tricks they have up their sleeve. And of course, if you know the answers before you go to see the movie, it loses much of its fun. Knowing who committed a murder before you start a mystery movie just takes all the joy out of it. When a movie reviewer discusses a new release, they are careful not to give away the ending. If they must divulge a plot point or a particularly important detail, they give a warning known as a spoiler alert. And if you read reviews in the newspaper or Rotten Tomatoes online, you'll be familiar with the phrase spoiler alert. Basically, if you don't want to know how a movie ends, you stop reading. So if you're asking yourselves, what does all this talk about movies have to do with our sermon today? Let me tell you. To some degree, the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he's given us the ultimate spoiler alert. John, this beloved disciple of Jesus, some 60 years after Christ's ascension, is stuck on a small island of Patmos, and he's living out his final years. But our Lord has a plan for John and wants to make use of this elderly disciple. He has given John a fascinating glimpse into not only the future, but into glory itself. And John, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, passes that vision on to us. The text for today's sermon is that section in Revelation chapter 7 that was read a few minutes ago. The verses that tell us of the glorious multitude of saints worshiping before the throne of the Lamb. To some degree, this is our spoiler alert. Our Lord Jesus loves us so much, he actually lets us know how it all ends. And here it is. Christ is victorious, and we, as his children, are heirs of this very victory. We saw this in the epistle reading from 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. It sometimes is almost too much to believe, and sounds like it came out of a movie script, but rest assured, we are his children. And we, like all those white-robed saints, are victorious. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, the day the church has set aside to honor all those who have gone before us in Christ. Not just the mighty people of God from ages past, but all the Christian men and women who have taught us, inspired us, raised us, corrected us, or in some way touched our lives. Though they are no longer with us, today we take the time to remember them. And what better way to remember them, not just as they once were, but as they are right now? As we see in John's revelation, they are with Jesus. They are dressed in white. They are holding palms and they are actively worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with loud voices. And this glorious celebration is not simply reserved for those who have gone on before. It is our celebration too. Every Sunday in the divine service, we join in that eternal worship celebration. We acknowledge it every week as we pray prior to going up for communion together with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. We laud and magnify your holy name. Yes, here on a November morning at the corner of George and Sherman Street in West Chicago, we take part in an eternal heavenly celebration, one that breaks the bonds of time and unites us not only with the saints who have gone before, but with the very Lamb of God himself. Now let's be honest. While we may enjoy that brief glimpse of glory while we kneel here in this place, we also know how quickly that glory fades. We step outside of these doors and back into the world around us, back into a world of sin and death. It's kind of like walking out of a movie theater into a cold, rainy parking lot. So quickly, the movie we had just seen on screen is blown away and becomes nothing more than a pleasant memory or a topic of office conversation. But it is at these times when we need to go back to our text. Remember the question that was asked of the Apostle John. Who are these clothed in white robes? The answer, those who have come out of the great tribulation. Yes, tribulation. It's very clear, and no one needs to tell you, that this world is full of tribulation. Loved ones who are taken from us far too soon, retirement accounts that are all but emptied, jobs lost, unfaithful spouses, abused and forgotten children, seemingly endless wars and strife. No, we do not need to seek out tribulation. This world, broken by sin, gives us plenty of that every day. In fact, one of the reasons movie attendance goes up during difficult economic times or times of distress is because people wish to escape the pain of the real world and run to the dream world of Hollywood. There they can enjoy seeing their fictional heroes overcome those impossible odds. It was true in the 30s, and it's true today. Just look at the number of superhero movies, action, adventure, and fantasy movies we've seen over the last few years. In fact, there were even reports of people feeling depressed after leaving the movie Avatar because they couldn't spend more time in its colorful 3D fantasy world. Yes, people want to escape the distress and trials of today's world. Yet we know that the heroes of these movies are just actors. They're on a soundstage or in front of a green screen. Their salvation really does not come from they themselves, but from stuntmen and computer-generated special effects. In our very real world of pain and misery, we may ask ourselves, where's my special effect? I remember in the old World War II movies, there always seemed to be a guy who threw himself on a grenade. You can probably picture the scene. The squad is holed up in a burned-out farmhouse surrounded by the enemy. Our machine gunners have wiped out most of the bad guys, but one injured enemy, using his last breath, pulls a grenade out of his bullet-riddled coat and lobs it into the farmhouse. Before it can explode, our hero, who was last seen usually looking at a torn picture of his girlfriend, throws himself on top of the grenade. It goes off, and he gives his life to save the squadron. Have you found yourself asking, where is my hero? Who's going to come and sacrifice themselves for me? Who's going to save me from my surrounding enemies? Well, you came to church today, so I think you know the answer. Our rescue, our salvation, comes to us in the very real and present Savior, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who was there at the foundation of the world. This same Jesus who carried all those saints in whites through their great tribulation is here to guide and carry us through our own trials and pain. Jesus, who sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins and earned for us salvation, he is the only hero we really need. Jesus, whose crimson blood was poured out for our sins and washed us clean, washing not only us, but all those white saintly robes that we too will be wearing when we join all those saints in glory. And he is no distant or historical hero. He's no Hollywood icon hidden behind a fence surrounded by bodyguards. He is here for us today. We don't have to buy a ticket, drop a dollar in the red box, or even order it from Comcast. Jesus comes to us freely. He comes to us in his holy word. He touches our ears with his words of forgiveness and absolution. He touches our lips with his body and blood in holy communion. and he lights a fire in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. He even gave us his autograph when he signed his name upon us at our baptism. Yes, Scripture makes it very clear. Our time in this world will not be an easy road to walk. But spoiler alert, we know how the story ends. We are victorious. And in fact, we already have won. Our hero has conquered the powers of darkness in this world and won for us a place with the multitude of saints who are worshiping him even as we speak. So when the world around us seems to be pressing in, like the trash compactors on the Death Star in Star Wars, don't panic. Don't look to R2-D2. Don't look to the Force for rescue. And most certainly, do not even think about walking out of the theater or changing the channel. Don't look to anyone but your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will carry us through, just as he did all those saints who have gone before us. And be confident. We have nothing to worry about. We know how the movie ends. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.